Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Thank God for another chance to be here and to get together once again and broadcast and mingle once again. I will give our early shout-outs to our sponsor affiliates, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM, of radio in New York, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. He's also the CEO of the Track One Entertainment Company, the company that's responsible for giving you all of those great R&B events all over New York City and Brooklyn. And this, actually tomorrow, September 18th, and if you haven't done so already, you need to hit Barry up or myself on our Facebook inboxes and get yourself an advance ticket, because there's no door ticket sales. So if you want to be a part of tomorrow's event at the Brooklyn Terrace featuring Double Exposure doing live performances, you need to hit us up tonight before midnight. So once again, it's tomorrow night, September 18th at 6 p.m. It's at the Brooklyn Terrace on Duffield Street in Brooklyn. It's an awesome venue. So you guys don't want to miss it. And Barry never disappoints when he gives out his events. So hit him up on Facebook. Get your $20 tickets in advance so that you can be a part of the soiree tomorrow. Okay? So thank you, Barry, for doing everything that you do for us and for allowing us to be a part of your team and vice versa. To Stephanie Hammond-Tillette, Marcia Morgan, two ladies who are involved with Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment, they have helped us with a lot of little contributions, allowing us to be there and show ourselves at their events. They have given us some inside tips on, you know, how to make ourselves better, and it has been absolutely wonderful. So I thank you, ladies, for doing what you do and allowing us to network the way that we do. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Monster Miles, you guys have been absolutely fantastic. I want to thank Deacon Zeddy Williams. All of you that listen regularly know he's our regular activist panelist from Toledo, Ohio. And he's always here to support the topics, to contribute to the topics. He's always here to offer his experiences out there in Toledo on what they're trying to do and to do make a change and make a difference with the topics that we tackle. So just to let all of you know that I thank you very much for us being able to work together and be a part of each other. So thank you very much for that. To my listeners, today we are at 12,060 people. I want to thank all of you very, very, very much for tuning in, for finding us interesting enough to keep coming back. I want to thank every one of you for sticking it out in our little getting our feet wet in the broadcasting world with all our technical glitches, out of our control, cyber drops, all of this. You guys have been there. I want to thank all of the people that have been interacting with me on Facebook and answering my pre-broadcast questions and giving me emails and inboxes and all sorts of things to contribute to the show. To the parents that have reached out on our teen segments and asked for our help and have been mingling with your own kids based on the teen segments that we have been doing, please write me back and update me on how the situations are going so that I can, you know, thank your children and thank you as well on the air for being a part of it and for helping us feel like we did something. Okay, before I go to break, we have something a little special tonight and very important. All of us know that we are a show that tries to empower the youth and communities, and mainly we deal with minority communities only because those are the communities that need the most restoration and need the most repair. Between economic program cuts, budget cuts, things that have been taken away, waiting lists for basic quality of life necessities, we also know that if we are having a hard time getting help to live life on a basic basis, we're definitely going to have a problem trying to get funding to start a business. So tonight we have a special guest. His name is Sherrod Piggy. He's in Flint, Michigan. He is the director of global marketing for a new company called HueFunder. And what HueFunder is a crowdfunding source company that allows people that are trying to start a business, that's people in minorities and of color, and things to that effect. It is open to all, but it mainly targets, you know, minorities. And they allow you to post projects and connect with people who give pledges and all, you know, into one big financial pool, and they help fund entrepreneurs that are trying to come up in of the minority community. So tonight, I'm not going to get into any more because he can tell it better than I can. When Mr. Piggy will be here very shortly, and one of the things that he is going to do is open up the lines to make sure that anyone who is listening and has a question and is interested in starting a business, you can ask Mr. Piggy how his program can help you. And at the same time, you can hear from him what the program is, how it works, what to do, how you can get involved, how you can be a part of it. And then we will all be able to at least get a piece of the pie at some point. So listen in. Keep it locked right here. I'm going out. Excuse me, we are having some allergy seasons. Okay, so we are going out with Joe's Compromise. I will be back in 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Keep it locked right here. Stay tuned.
Make some compromise.
Make some compromise.
Oh, don't jump in. to make some compromises, lady.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Ooh, I love that jam. That is Joe with Compromise, and it's smooth and cool. I love it. Okay, we are going to be talking tonight about crowdfunding. Is this the new hope for minority entrepreneurs? Now, as I previously stated, we will be having a guest in here because we are going to be talking specifically about a new innovative company that is called HueFunder. Okay, they also have a subsidiary company called HueLinks. Okay, that's HueFunder and HueLinks. And one of the things that was told to me is that this is one of the new gateway methods and funding resources for minorities to get started. We all know that no matter how hard we try, there's always something that keeps us back. If you're in a minority in a community, between trying to keep up with just keeping up your housing vouchers if you're on it, if you're on any type of government assistance, if you are just above working, if you're in the working class, there's always something that you, before your check is cashed, it's already spent. So trying to start a business is like something you dream of doing, but, you know, there's so many obstacles in the way trying to get you there. Now, if you're in a minority community, it's twice as hard because, as I said before, between political economic budget cuts, between you just trying to live your life with basic things, you know, like I said, renting is a problem now because every voucher that's out has a waiting list or a restriction now is being cut. You know, so by the time that you're busy counting your pennies to try to, you know, have your food, bread, and water and life, you can barely think about saving anything to the side to start a business. So those of us that have been able to save a penny here, a dime there, a dollar here, is to get started. By the time that we've gotten to the point that we're ready to pitch it, banks are not saying yes. Private funders are not trying to even give you a shot. If you haven't been there, at least a good 2 or 3 years in the business to show for it. So this is a company that allows you to have your dream and put your dream on paper and post it to their company forum. And these are people that are all private donors, or they could be from corporations. He'll tell you that best when he comes on, you know. But he, you know, these are people that are funding the pool or the resource pool and looking at projects. And if these projects, you know, go through, then you have funding. So he'll be here in a few minutes. We're waiting on him. And while we're there, I'm going to bring in our co-host so she can help us along with this until he gets on. And give me about 30 seconds. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. How are you? So, Lady Diamond, how are you?
How are you, Lady Diamond? Okay, before our guest calls in, I want to let you tell our panel, our listeners, what's your take on the possibilities or the difficulty of getting into an entrepreneurship as a minority?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is pretty hard to get, you know, to start some type of business. Hold on. Second. Are you... Ugh. No, as myself, yeah, I've been doing a baking business. I mean, I can't say it's a business, and I only do it like once a year. I bake once a year, and the thing about trying to start a business off is money. Not all of us have enough money or the resources to actually push through to make it into a business, you know? Me, I only do it like once a year because, you know, it's my fun time. But if I really want to focus and open up an entrepreneurship or even a business, I will have to at least put money to the side or look for some type of loan, which I don't have fantastic credit, you know, or something that will actually push me forward.
And that is kind of a hard thing, too, because, you know, I didn't even mention that part of it. The factors of you know, credit and stuff. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, like, but bad credit doesn't always come because people are just being irresponsible. It isn't. There are people that have been divorced. Yep. And the person that was running the bills is the other person. And while the person whose credit is being ruined because the other person didn't do their part, you know, there are plenty of housewives who have husbands that run the bills. And, you know, they're just the ones that make sure everything is sent out in the mail. There are plenty of other people, you know, that something happened. They got sick at some point, and usually they were on time with their bills, but suddenly they got into a car accident, lost all their income or all their means to make what they used to make. You know, so it's not so much about being irresponsible with certain things that make the credit go bad. But because we have these paper ratings, you know, it's hard for entrepreneurs to get started with that because people don't understand, or these big institutions need to understand that many of us are trying our best to continue our education or do something like an entrepreneurship to get back on our feet. And at the same time, since we're being taxed for the business anyway, pretty much you're giving back to start with, and then you are on your way to paying off whatever debts you have with the business that you make. Now, if somebody has sat there and planned out a business and thought of all the dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, and they put it to work, this should show any future investors that this person is responsible for whatever their past mistakes may have been. You know,
right. Give
them a shot. But minorities have it twice as hard because that's really our problem. We are so busy trying to make the day-to-day ends meet. And on top of that, the things that we have counted on or had to count on are now being, you know, administratively cut by our politicians. So it's making whatever little bit we do have harder to stretch and harder to give away. You know, many people don't understand that everybody is not a reckless brand shopper. There are plenty of us that would take what we have and stretch a penny and be economic about things. So if all we have a shot at is being rated against the credit rating, people are going to miss the actual opportunity of the person's abilities to do something. So getting back to that, one of the things that you mentioned is money, and money is the biggest obstacle in people starting a business. So
yeah, money is a huge factor. I mean, especially like today, if you apply for a job, right, depending on what job it is and depending on what position you're looking for, for some reason, some jobs and some positions, they look at the credit rating for some reason. They actually look at the person's credit rating before they even actually think about, you know, putting them into an interview. You know, when you go for an apartment, same thing. They look at the credit rating. They say, oh, okay, you know, this person has 500 in credit. We cannot take them. You know, and the thing is, they don't understand that, okay, this person may have bad credit, but then they could be good at paying off their rent compared to other people. And nobody sees that. They really don't see that. That's what hurts a lot of people today. And think about entrepreneurship, loans, grants, it's hard to get. It's not that hard to get. If you actually research it and find a way to make the money and actually get the money and pay it back, that'd be great. But then there's always some type of scheme that will always pull people back to where they were before.
And it's sad because with the economy being in such a crunch as it is right now, you know, allowing us to do what our country was founded on, which was capitalism and getting out there and starting our own businesses, giving back into our own land before we give away or owe other people on the outside. That's it. Once we spoke about before with one of the most versatile, productive, yielding, reliable, loyal, multitasking workforce groups there are is women.
Yep.
Okay, is women. But women are being, you know, shoved to the back, not as badly as back in the Little House on the Prairie days, but we're not being looked at as capable, able-bodied, you know, assets to a person's company. And then the next thing is that right here in America, there are people that are willing to work that can. Disabled people, depending on the disability, some of them are still viable workers in other non-strenuously physical positions. And to those of you that are out there listening, one of the things that this team is trying to do with the show is to get our sponsors and get people out there, help get funding for this show so that we can become one of the first people that will have legitimate jobs for people out there that cannot work in an office per se. We want to give them a way to have work from home positions. That way they can still be a viable force without stressing what it is that makes them disabled. So we're working really hard to do that, because if we can start paying taxes back to our own community, our own country, this country could kind of get back out of the national deficit some way down the line, and we can start flourishing. It may take one, it's one row of leaves in a garden at a time, but it's a start. It's a start. And one of the things that this company does is, first of all, they allow everyone to post a project and to apply, but it's mainly, you know, that they make sure that the availability is there for minorities to be self-flourishing and functioning. And that is a great thing. And I believe that our guest is in right now, so just let me take a short break, and I'll be back to call him in. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be going out, excuse me, please, with Coco Jones and Tyler Williams with Me and You, and I will be back in 3 minutes.
You had was for another guy. Well, I'm that other guy. I'm just a shy kid, camouflaged before your eyes. And I knew my lyrics were the key to see the other side. I should have told you, but I never had the courage. And I thought you really wouldn't understand. And now I'm up here just to let my feelings surface, apologizing for disguising who I am.
Tell me, are you who I thought you were?
But I got caught in the shadow in the background. But I'm back now. And Chris was all this and that. And my look didn't really fit the rap. It didn't match. He had the style and I had the swag. So I locked up my feelings in the words he said. Give me a hand and I'll take off my mask. If you give me a chance, that's all I ask.
What you expecting me to do? First you were him and now you're you.
Now it's just me. And you got me on my knees.
So deceived, guess I believe what
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Hi, welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We have our co-host, Lady Diamond, on the line, and we will be bringing in our guest speaker for the evening. Those of you just joining us, tonight's topic is called Crowdfunding, Is It the New Hope for Minority Entrepreneurs? Because we all know that the economy now is in a horrible crunch. We are getting funding cuts and budget cuts and program cuts to minority neighborhoods, and they mainly affect the lower income and minority communities. Now, with that happening, minorities are struggling just to make ends meet for daily basic needs in life. Those of us having the dream to start a business, you know that going to the traditional banks and private investors, you have to go through a hoop, a song, a dance, a credit check, the whole nine, and you still might get the biggest no you'll ever receive. And then those that do say that they are offering funds for minority businesses or black-owned businesses or Latino-owned businesses is not really giving you much of an option to get started. So there is a gentleman who happens to be a Facebook friend of mine, has been for a little while, that has been pitching this request for me to talk about this program for quite some time. And in the beginning, I was like, I don't know anything about it. I've never heard of it, so I can't really tell my listeners. But then I finally found the moment to talk to this man. And not only was he articulate, but everything that he said came true to form when I got to take a look at the website, HughFunder.com it is, by the way. And just what I was reading there impressed me enough. There's so many versatilities that they have going on there, many sub-segments, things to that effect. And he was gracious enough to agree to come on and do a segment this evening so that he could tell you all about it himself. So allow me to bring Mr. Sharad Peguy in, and he will be able to tell you. He's the Director of Global Marketing for HughFunder. So let me bring him in and give me just a second. Welcome, Mr. Peguy, you're on the air.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
How are you? Hi there. Allow me to say thank you for doing this and for giving us your time tonight. I have opened the panel, so if anybody calls in, they can ask you one-on-one questions. Let me introduce you to my co-host. She's on the panel, Miss Lady Elaine. Lady Diamond Elaine Yeves. Say hello.
How are you, ma'am? How are you?
Elaine.
How are you?
All right, Mr. Peguy, just give me, you know, we have a issue every so often for some reason on the line. So if when she comes in, you know, she's there, just that apparently.
Okay, how well I understand.
The computer business is something. So let me start with this. Based on what I understood from you and from reading the website is, there's sort of, I'm going to call it a new way for funding because I've never heard of it before. It may have been out forever, but I don't know. But it's crowdfunding, it's called. Now, am I correct in interpreting that these are like a bunch of either anonymous or private pledge people who pledge certain amounts of money to like a big pool of something? Go ahead.
Well, HughFunder is basically a platform for people to bring a project instead of sitting in a bank waiting for a no. We'll call you after lunch. You're denied. You have to come in with a co-signer. This is a way that you can have projects bidded upon. You know, donations start from $5 up to $5,000. What we're doing now is accepting applications for projects to be submitted because we saw a need. Now, everyone on the planet has heard of Kickstarter. Basically, what we are the ethnic side of Kickstarter. What we've done is we've created a platform for African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, Indians, Native Americans, and Middle Easterners. Basically, anyone of color. Now, anyone can join this. That's just our niche. What we are doing is presenting a platform so investors, angels, people in your own neighborhood. I mean, you have to do some of the legwork yourself. It is no cost to you up front. There's no gimmicks. We charge 7% when the project is funded. We basically give you the platform to showcase your project, your business, your innovation, your, you know, the technology you've created. It's just a basic platform for that.
So that's awesome as it is, because you know what? That's like taking off a lot of marketing costs to a lot of people. That's number one. And I could tell you that because I've been dibble-dabbling in home businesses for some time, you know, as from being even a young mom at the time. And it is hard. You know, sometimes just the cost of flyers, like basic flyers at the cheapest printer shop, is too much for a single parent that's on a disability check or whatever and trying to do something extra. And so much of us are being oppressed into corners that can actually make the economy flourish with the business, you know, if they listen. As my co-host had said earlier, a lot of things is also based on credit checking. And a lot of times, you know, people with credit problems is not because they're irresponsible in spending. It's so many different circumstances. So going out there already, and then, you know, minorities definitely have most of the credit check problems, so banks are not even going to look at your application for a loan or a grant or anything, you know, just based on that alone. Now, as you said, the legwork, is that including, or does that mean that they have to go out and try to supermarket their own project, or is it funding as well? What does that mean when you say that, you know, they do their own legwork as well, or most of the legwork?
No promotion is better than self-promotion. If you understand, which I know you do, but your audience, no one is more excited about your project than you. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're trying to buy a piano for a church, and you want to raise, you know, a couple hundred dollars. You want to buy a used piano. We have the form for that. Let's say if you have a game you want to create and you need, you know, a couple hundred thousand, we have a form for that. What we're doing is giving you the platform. If your product is good, it will fund. If it's not good, it won't fund. I mean, it's we give it a 30 to 90-day window to get a chance to fund, sometimes 180 days. This is not a fast overnight process, but the thing is, these are non-recourseable loans, meaning you do not have to pay them back. Now, you may have to give equity or you may have to give some type of position in what you're selling, but that's between you and the actual lender. I mean, the person who's lending you, you know, or sponsoring you the money. But a lot of times it's just, they're just blessed donations. I mean, it's, you know, a person has a right to do with their $5 or $20 or $70. The average donation on crowdfunding sort platforms is $71. So if, let's be conservative and say 10 people, let's say 100 people gave you $50. Well, the math is there for you. That's enough for a small business. Remember something. There are 7 billion people on this planet. Now, you can think small or you can think global. Your project that you're creating, it could be a lawn care business right in your own neighborhood. Well, people can go right to your project online and they can donate. Whether it's a global or a mon call right there in your small town, this is the platform for it. And the thing is, let me add this, where can a minority go in the United States of America and walk in and present a project fairly, not on their credit score, but on the project alone? Now, it is a vetting process. It's just not you put a project, it has to be approved. But, again, we have to do our homework. We have to have our presentation right, because if the presentation is right, then the product will fund. Now, will it fund 100%? I can't say that. I cannot make that guarantee on behalf of of Hugh Funder. I can't do that. But what I can tell you is we're going to promote it as well as you're going to promote it. With social media, you have to do your part. We're going to do our part.
I do need to interrupt you for two things. One, I need you to speak a little loudly or closer to your phone. And two, I want to ask you a question. Now, something I read on the Hugh Funder site, there was something called an all-or-nothing clause. Is that I didn't understand that too well, so can you explain it to me and for my listeners that are listening in on this today?
Can you hear me better now?
Much better, yes, sir.
Okay.
I hear you.
Okay, how are you?
I'm okay.
How are you? Good, good, good. All or nothing means if the project does not fund 100%, we refund all of the money back to the originators.
Okay.
Because we don't want to, you know, take someone's money at 70% and then the project doesn't get complete. Well, it's not fair to the investor as well as it's not fair. We have to protect both sides.
Got it.
You know, if a project is 90% complete and we get the okay from the investors and get the agreement to do so, well, that's different. But, you know, we're not going to release funds at 50%, at 50%. We're just not going to do that.
Well, let me ask you something.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I certainly didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
Okay, so is there the option, let's say you have 90% of investors or funding, and let's say that the client themselves, I'm saying client, I don't know what it's called on eFunder, but let's say that the potential client themselves have the other 10%. Could that be something that works?
Well, that would be 100% funded.
Okay.
Look, if five people were in a house,
right,
and the project was it was 100%, and each person gave 20%. That would equal that 100. Now, of course, what you do with your money, I would hope you would pledge something in your own on your own project.
Right.
That means you believe in it. But even though you're given the sweat equity, you know the thing is this: if you put up a movie, let's say for instance, you put up a movie like Spike Lee did on Kickstarter. Now, Spike Lee, you know, and I know that he has the money.
Right.
But investors are the key. Donald Trump said it best. Using other people's money is the only way.
Right. Indeed. Well, one of the things that we do here, and this is before I even found out what, you know, your company was doing, is we started the show with what we call the OTE market page, and we have one for entrepreneurs and one for music artists. And what it is that on our website, our official website, we have 2 to 3 pages because people are coming in now and posting their business with us. So we give them free advertising and free marketing, meaning that we market them on our website where we list their name, location, and whatever contact information they like to provide. We have them, if they're running a business, we have to get a mini proposal description of what their services are. And if they're selling a product, they need to submit pictures and a little brief summary of what the products are for. The other thing that, and these are for local people like you said that are living right next door, that, you know, maybe have 2 kids and they can't really get out to the traditional work world at the moment, but they have really good ideas and really good talents. So what we do is we allow them to post with us. And then in addition to that, and that's for those that are not seen or are slightly established, but they really need a big push and can't afford the advertising. So we do that for them. And in addition, we have unsigned music artists, and a lot of them are youth. Young kids that really, you know, the youth today, Sherrod, you know that they have almost no options left for anything. So when there are a few choice kids that are out there trying to stay above, you know, getting caught up in gangs or getting pregnant early or doing whatever with music, You know, as long as it's not promoting violence or women degradation or, you know, promoting a hate crime or cursing too much or whatever, we play it here for them. Then on Saturdays, we have a two-hour segment called our Spread Your Wings Showcase, where we take what's listed on those market pages, we read off the entrepreneurs, and then in addition, we play the music of the unsigned artist for, you know, repeat rotation play for 2 hours. So we give them advertising and we give them marketing. And that's one of the things that I understood from being a person that as a young mother, I was trying to start businesses and, you know, keeping food on the table for your children and then trying to fund an entrepreneurship, it really wasn't easy. And back then, there were more resources available from the government if you needed it. So what you're doing really sparked my interest and really, you know, made me see what you were trying to tell me. I know you reached out to me for weeks. I do apologize for that. Wanted to tell you that on the air. But I apologize.
Oh, I know you get approached all the time. But I want to say this and interject this. How many mothers out there do not get to develop their dreams because they have to work? They're tired when they get off work, screaming kids. They have no help. Whether it's a single mother or a mother that's, you know, with spouse or with, you know, significant other. The thing is that we are, and you've heard this a gazillion times, we are the largest consumer, but we don't own anything. Now, take this into perspective. The one thing that we want to paint and stress in this niche is this. Hue means of color. Anything with color, anything with a hue has color. So what we're trying to do is our niche is, look, come to us, show us a presentable project that we can help you get funded. This is not a black site. It's not an Asian site. It's a site for people of color. This is, we have so many Bill Gates. So many, Steve Jobs. We have so many, but they don't have a platform, A. B, they don't know how to present their product. They don't know how. I mean, they just don't know how. And the thing is, we try to help them develop what they have.
Indeed. I know that, too. Presentation is the key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And one of the things I've been trying to tell, because, you know, one of the other things that tends to be wrong or missing with minority communities is also the lack of researching and researching everything that will enhance the projects that they put out there or the dreams that they have. And one of the things that I push all the time is to tell people that whether they're in a business or not, or they've started their business or not, or even if the idea is just at an inception, start researching the local business laws, the state business laws, because once, you know, being a tax-paying business refurnishes, I should say, the community, the economy. Knowing what it is that your community needs and what your business will be able to give back is also something that you'll be able to tell a potential investor. So these things I tried to push. We definitely had a women's empowerment segment because one of the things, in addition to us being big consumers, and I say this often enough, one of the most viable, productive, yielding, multitasking, resourceful, loyal workforce groups there are out there are women.
Absolutely.
And women are not given, even if they are not in the kitchen and the bedroom per se, okay, they are out there with really, really viable entrepreneurship ideas. And the thing is, because they're women, it's another one of those things where it's yet one more block back that they have to stand to be even looked at or considered. And it's sad because women could do everything. We are the type of people that can take a pot of water and salt and make a meal called rock soup, and it'll be great. While we're doing the laundry, while we're thinking about the business bills, while we're doing everything. And one of the things that happens is it's one of those things that's considered a minority because it's one of those diamonds in the rough that nobody wants to polish off and see for the value that it is. So this is another thing that I started spreading the word around to everyone in my neighborhood and also on my Facebook network. And I know that I have my co-host, she lives in the Latino area of New York City, who she sees the same thing, and she herself is trying to become an entrepreneur with things that she does. So a lot of the things we've already been studying, that's why the show got started, to see already what our community is going to need and what we plan to do. So what you're doing, I think, is one heck of a big push in a direction that I don't think minorities have had for a while. I believe it is the new gateway to hope for us.
Well, and if I might interject and say this,
sure.
It doesn't cost you anything. We are an avenue that are giving, are bringing you specific eyes, whether it be from angel investors, traditional investors. You know, I have an extensive background in dealing with credit, understanding FICO scores, understanding, you know, the positive, what hurts your credit score, what doesn't hurt your credit score. And the thing is, this is all project-based. If you go to Indiegogo or Kickstarter, we could take right now, we could live off their rejects. If you're rejected off of those two sites, and they're the largest, if you're rejected off there, we can take those projects and get you funded. Now, we may not be able to get you funded for the amount you asked for. But again, we're going to get you something opposed to nothing. Because sometimes, as you know, you have to scale down. You have to, you know, you have to, that's why they call it a, you know, a boilerplate startup, or, you know, you have to start it sometimes from just a shoestring budget. I mean, you have to. We have a staff of five, and out of the staff of five, as we're increasing, as we're growing this brand globally, as we add on, we see projects, radio shows, we see them all the time. We're waiting right now because on October 1st, that's when we're going to release all of the projects to the market at once. You have told me right now, just in speaking to you and your co-host, of two or three projects that you could have out there. This show could be on there. I mean, you can never get enough great publicity in raising capital. ABC raises capital. NBC raises capital. You just don't see it.
Well, I just want to let you know I've already started to get to your project. We already did. Because one of the things that we are definitely looking for has been sponsors and, you know, potential investors, because we really want to get this show. We absolutely do not want it to be one of those dime a dozen shows. It's not about just listening to people on the radio talking. We're really trying to make moves, because I have a theory that I'm really tired of seeing people grumble and not make a move. One of the things I've been a PTA president. I served on the PTA board and the SOT team in the Board of Education in Queens, New York. 4 years I was on the PTA, twice as the treasurer and twice as the president. And to get people to come to the forum where it counts, that makes the moves, that progresses, that addresses the problem in a way where change will happen, is almost like pulling teeth. But yet you know that these problems are a concern of theirs, but to get them to go where it counts, to make the difference, to say it officially, to put it on paper where it could be seen, is hard. And slowly but surely, I started to get people to come. So the thing is that's what I tell everybody now. You can't just say you don't like the fact that we can't start a business and that the economy's going down, but yet not look at all the avenues that's right in front of you to try. So this is an option, this right here, this segment, you being here, the company that you have, to start taking call for action. And like you just said.
And you're correct. You are correct. You are correct. And here's why you're so right. We have people who have been in the penitentiary with projects that have turned their lives around. You know, we get applications and we get project submissions all the time from, you know, guys who have lost millions to, you know, I mean, we're right now going through a very vigorous process of getting these projects ready, because once they hit the ground running, we're off and running. And when I say we're off and running, I mean this. Investors are taking a peek. Now, you can have, look, I tell people this all the time. If fertilizer was made marketable, what about your project? Now think about that for a minute. We all know what fertilizer, what it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
If that's made marketable, then tell me, why isn't your project marketable? Oprah Winfrey did not start out on daytime TV. She started somewhere. You have to crawl before you walk. You know, a lot of people, a lot of youngsters, the reason they sell drugs and do things of that nature is because they want the money fast. I get that. But for hardworking people who don't mind rolling up their sleeves and, you know, making a honest effort, well, they'll put the honest time and effort and research, as you said, into these projects. And Hugh Funder will do the rest. We'll take you to the masses. You have to give us something to take, though.
Indeed. Indeed. And it's, like I said, it's a call for action. And you know, it's a step toward doing something. You said a few minutes ago that it costs you nothing with Hugh Funder to post your project or to at least put it in. And that's the equivalent of something that a good friend of mine who also was from Flint, Michigan, he's, and myself, we believe this. Nothing beats failure but a try.
Absolutely. And you know what? Not only that, I have a very colorful background. And the one thing that's beautiful about it is this. I was able to join this company and be a part of this company because I have a very extensive marketing background. But more importantly, I've learned this. We're just common folk with one goal. Let's promote minority businesses, people of color. Listen, we have no competition. We're not in competition with Kickstarter. We're not in competition with Indigo. We're not in competition with anyone. Even if you can find one or two other, crowdfunding sites. But I can guarantee you this. There's nowhere on the web, on this globe, out of 7 billion people, can you find a blend of all 6 ethnicities all in one being crowdfunded and marketed toward. There's nowhere. You know, you'll find black, then you'll find Hispanic, then you'll find Asian, but not all in one, you know, almost like vegetable soup. You'll never find it all in one. And that's why our market is so big. Our piece of this pie is scrumptious because we have a big audience.
Indeed.
We have the potential. We have the potential Latinos. I mean, you name it. It's just endless.
Listen, I was completely blown away when I read just the first few sentences of your site. When I got there, I was like, oh, my God, I feel like an idiot. I should have spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, you know, because it was like when you reached out to me, I was trying to explain to you that I couldn't just have a show about something that I myself wasn't aware of. That's why I had asked you to take the time and, you know, explain it. So you sort of gave me the whole long thing, and then you told me, you know what, just go to the website. So after everything settled down for me and I got the minute to do that, I was like, what? Really? Wait, what? You know, so I was like, oh, no, we have to try this. So you couldn't have been more of a godsend to us at this moment. Am I right, Lady Diamond?
Yes, she is perfectly right.
Yeah, because we have been talking about this. Uh-huh.
No, I was saying, I apologize, I didn't mean to cut you off. All I was saying is we're shepherds. We're the shepherds. We are only presenting the platform for what you're doing right here now. You can now put this show on HugheFunder and raise capital for it. Hey, you got to eat. You got to keep your lights on.
Not a big show. We're trying.
Absolutely. Everybody needs one thing that's in business, and that's capital. Everybody. I don't care who it is. they need capital.
That's absolutely true, Sherrod. I have to tell you, it's just like I said. We're looking for, you know, better equipment. We're looking for some office supplies. We're looking for ways to go out there and be able to travel further than the communities we've been able to get to. So we're looking for ways to get there. We're looking for promotions, you know, promotional things to make promotional items. So we're putting in a lot of our own, and at the same time, it's hard on us as well, but we're out there doing this because we know word of mouth is definitely the first thing. We've already all have sort of a jump start because we've already had a following on Facebook for some time. I'm a writer as well, so, you know, I've already had a following, so it was a little easier for me to reach the masses all at once. Where a lot of people don't, there are a lot of people who have a Facebook page simply out of obligation to be, you know, up to date with technology. I have a grandmother. I have a friend of my grandmother's that she has one simply because her children told her that Facebook is the way to go. But she couldn't understand how to log into with her own password. You know? So there are things that we're trying to do. But at least, you know what I always say, though? As long as it's out there, it's always an option. My novel started to sell pretty slowly, but that was because at the time I wasn't able to be, to invest in ideal marketing at the time. I was going to school full time. I was raising 7 children in a homeless shelter. So it was a lot of things to do at the time. But I said to myself, as long as my book is already published and out there, I always can go back and it's an option. So now I can. And it's like a lot of little things that you could do. And people don't understand. It doesn't take anything to try to get started and get seen. Because a lot of times, I know the ideal thing would be to have thousands of dollars in your pocket right now. But for you to be able to reach to that, you have to make your presentation and your start for yourself rich. And that's something that definitely, just looking at the sample way to post a project on YouFunder gave me even more of an idea of what to say to people looking. Because the way that they break it down for you to post your project, it makes you think about how to word it the right way. You know how.
Well, not only what you said is so strong and so true. You could relaunch that book by really changing nothing. There are so many movies that have just been slightly repackaged and put out, and now they're a household name. Remember something, Tyler Perry was on a bench in a park sleeping, you know, bus stop sleeping, homeless. And now look what he has. I learned one thing from Percy Miller, a.k.a. Master P. He said, I was the number one rap label in the world, and nobody knew about it. But everybody believed it when I said it. So basically, if you speak it into existence, it is.
Indeed.
Who can dispute that we're the number one crowdsourcing company for people of color? No one can. Because actually we are. But the thing is, who can dispute? Who can refute that?
I guess no one can, because I didn't even know what. To be honest with you, as much as I've done research on funding sources and funding options and things to that effect, never once did I hear of crowdfunding. And I understand the concept because, you know, as a matter of fact, having a Latino and Caribbean background as well, that's sort of like what they call a susu, and they call it in Spanish in a sociedad, where, you know, everybody sort of networks their own money and one person at the end of the week gets each different week gets to pool. But, you know, that's just my way. That's the way I learn. I learn by associating with things that
You want me to tell you who the first person to do it that you knew about, you saw it, and didn't realize what it was?
What?
Obama. President Obama.
No,
President Obama raised more money than all presidents combined off $5 donations.
Well, go Obama, and I voted for him, and I liked him then, so I voted for him twice.
Yep.
But you guys do see what I'm saying.
Yes,
you remember the donations he was getting, because he didn't need the $2,000 and $5,000 donations. He was okay at $5 and $10 donations. He raised more money than almost all 42 presidents combined. He had a war chest off the crowd. And what Wall Street did, Wall Street took what he did and renamed it and packaged it as crowdfunding. See, we are the last to know. You know that. I know that. We know that. We are the last to know.
Indeed we are.
That's why you hadn't heard of it.
Possibly because a lot of times we don't really have the time to look in the right directions, too, and I have to say that. I know I'm hustling. Like I said, I make jokes about it all the time, but I'm a mother of an army all by myself, you know. And as much as I have my eyes open, because being a single parent, you have to do it for both sides, you know. So you have to take on twice the responsibilities with half the supplies going in. But the whole thing is that even with you looking and seeking, sometimes it's hiding in plain sight. Or like you said, Obama took in $5 donations. Funny thing that you should say that, because now I fully remember that when he was running, I got that email, you know, asking for it as a voter.
He ran a grassroots campaign. He just donated $5. Everybody sent $5. Everybody. $5, $10. Some people sent $20. That adds up. Yeah, he had a cash cow.
It's true, because you know what? Everybody's looking at the $5, but forgetting, like you just said, about 20 minutes ago, that 7 billion people in the world. Billion people donating $5, that's a hell of a fishnet there, you know? And that's one thing.
Because you don't think it adds up. And I tell people all the time, $5 coming a million ways is $5 million.
Indeed.
People don't look at it like that.
I need to ask you to do me a favor, and until the broadcast ends, you might have to do this a couple of times more. But we just got a couple of new listeners in on the live caller panel that just joined.
Okay.
Can you kindly please, briefly, if you can, re-summarize and explain what the Hue Funder program is, what the company does, so that those that are just listening know what we're talking about?
Hue Funding is a platform in which you can showcase your projects. Hue Funder is a platform for people of color. Well, really, and let me say, anyone can join this or be a part of this. But we try to stay in spotlight or keep in the spotlight projects that people need cash for. They need finance and funding for to get to that next level. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, again, she didn't start out with Harpo Studios. She started out with a microphone and not even a computer back then. Tyler Perry as well. I mean, people need cash. That's the one universal thing that everybody needs besides shelter. Shelter and food, they need cash, and especially an entrepreneur.
Yes, they do. And entrepreneurship is the basis of refurnishing and reflourishing of a broken economy. And that is the one thing, since the government is not going to allow you to just walk up and, you know, be a business person, you have to start small. And starting small with big ideas makes a lot of difference, because it's always the small steps that make the big things happen. It's always the hard work that makes the long term happen. A lot of people like these quick, fast cash, you know, do-it-yourself things right away. No, those women that are listening, you single mothers that have been hitting me up, that really are listening in on the live stream tonight, let me explain this again. Here's an opportunity staring you right in the face. This man came onto the show. He's already been here for about almost an hour.
An hour. Okay?
About an hour. Yeah, he's been here about an hour. No, about 45 minutes. Okay, and he just gave the greatest presentation of his company. And there's nothing in it that says your pockets are going to be drained. You're not going to see an ounce of this promise. This is not a campaign runner trying to get a candidate in office. This is a company that's there doing something that probably has been done for some time now, but we just didn't know about it, because it wasn't presented, and here we are. This is something that it seems like any and everybody can do. And if we are us being in the groups that get hit with the biggest cuts, the biggest restrictions, the biggest takebacks there is, which is minorities. Minorities, not just meaning color, everyone. Women are minorities. Youth are a minority. Okay? But just think about it. We are the groups that the banks won't even consider because certain criteria aren't met. So what you need to understand is that it's put in front of you. Nothing beats failing but a try. There are things that you're doing. Even nonprofit organizations need cash for something. Red Cross needs to keep funding their vans, needs to keep getting food to give to the homeless and the disaster-stricken people. Okay, so you may not be taking money in, but you need money to fund out. So, hello, here's the platform. This couldn't be more of a Cinderella fairy godmother opportunity that there is. Is it a guarantee that you'll get something right away? No. But at least you're out there marketing. Okay, that big old lotto thing that everybody could hear all over the world, whether it's in Chinese or Japanese or, you know, Pekingese, the lotto says you got to be in it to win it. You got to be in it to win it. So what does it hurt for you to go research HughFunder.com or HughLinks? Is that the other one, sir?
Well, HughLinks is nothing more than the Facebook for people of color. That is basically like the after party. It's where people of color can go and network. And what it is this. Facebook is nothing more than a platform. Facebook doesn't do anything but keep you connected. That's all they do. LinkedIn, they just keep you connected. What we do with HughLinks is, with HughLinks, I challenge people. We've got up to 60,000 members. We got up to 60,000 members, and what we did was we had to revamp everything. With HughFunder coming, now people of color can network. Where can you go? And I say this again and I say this again. There's not one caller that can call me or challenge me on this. You couldn't call me back in an hour or 10 hours unless you created it right now. That I tell you this. There's nowhere on the web that people of color can go to one spot, get news information of business-minded networking. There's a difference between Tom Joyner, who does a fabulous job, and Black Planet. This is not a dating site. This is not a site of smut. We don't care what Nicki Minaj is doing. We don't care what Will Smith's son said. We don't care. We don't care if Rick Ross got shot. We don't care. We care about the empowerment of our community. We care about the business that goes on in our community. And here's more importantly, I ask you this question or any of your listeners. Do you know three Black contractors in your city right now that are licensed? Well, guess what? That's what we're building at HughLinks. But it all starts at HughFunder, raising the capital. That's where it starts. Raise the capital, and you can network through HughLinks.
Well, I'm sold because you got like 60,001 members now.
Let me say this. When we revamp, we basically had to start from scratch because of some litigation and things of that nature. But we're all fine now. We're all fine. We're rebuilding that. We're revamping that. And the one great thing is that with HughFunder is the money. HughLinks is the platform. But the key here is there's one very important nucleus here. It's Hugh, people of color. That's why I get so excited about it. People say, you know, you're screaming. No, I'm not screaming about it, but I'm excited about it. I'm totally excited about it.
Well, that's the biggest selling pitch as it is. I mean, I sold Herbalife products for 5 years, and I remember, first of all, anybody out there that hears Katie Barnett as a saleswoman, I suck at selling if I don't believe in what I'm selling. So just to let you know, I can't just go over there and sell a Kirby vacuum. I sucked at that. I tried that too when I was about 19. All right? So I totally messed up.
I think everyone sold Kirby's, didn't they?
Hopefully. I could not see myself selling a $1,300 vacuum to a woman on welfare. I couldn't do that. So, you know, I had to believe in it, and that was the only thing I could say. Herbalife was a personal milestone for me. Now, I had an issue with my weight. I wasn't by any means, you know, obese, but for me, it was too much. So I tried everything. It started out with my first baby, trying to lose a little bit of postnatal weight, and it was just 12 pounds. By the time I tried Slim Fast, I was 30 pounds overweight. When I got to there was another one that was out, it was like 45. I got depressed after a while, and then I was feeling up, down, jumpy the whole night. When I found this company, Herbalife, it was to a work-at-home ad. You know, work from home, earn $100 to, you know, $1,000, blah, blah. So I called, and when I found out what it was, I was like, wait a minute, whoa, really back. I said, you want me to go sell things? I said, what exactly is this? What does it do? I said, you know what? No. You send me the products. I'll buy them first. And when I try them, if they work for me, then I could get back to sell it. And sure enough, it was the first product that I tried. I dropped 60 pounds in 8 weeks. No, it wasn't a fad diet. It was just my metabolism. I felt great. I wasn't jumpy. It was no weird food. It wasn't anything. And in addition, it helped me with a kidney problem that I had from a car accident. So it gave bonuses. So that, when I tell you like this, I started out, I was in the business 5 years. For the first 4 months, I had the same four customers. And I was like, why am I not being able to tell people or sell? I know what this product does. It wasn't until I started saying, I'm not putting my own personal victory of the product into my pitch. So they gave us these buttons, and I remember it used to say, lose weight now, ask me how. So people used to think it was a joke or it was like a teasing thing. And when I saw somebody reading it, I had to look on their face like I want to ask, I would approach them silently on a bus, a train, it didn't matter. And I said, the button is for real. So if you're really interested, here's my number, call me later. People were like, no, I don't want to call you later, talk to me now. And when I started telling them my story and showed them my pictures, they were like, what? So by the end of that 4th month, and also what I did was I told each customer, if you get me 3 customers that will order from you, I'll give you 5% off your order, because I had 25% commission to work with. So I was giving away some of my commission to each person, because by the time those 3 people bought products from me, I made my 5% back and then some. And by the end of the 4th month, I had 160 customers coming back with 3 more referrals.
Well,
that's
so
good.
I'm saying that to you listeners out there to tell you that if you are putting out a project that you believe in, that you know works, that you have researched and tested the ins and outs, the pros and cons, you can answer the hard questions that these investors will ask you because you've done what you've had to do. Let me tell you something. The excitement alone is going to be your biggest pitch seller because you believe in it and you're not selling people a dream in a bottle. So it's worth trying. It's worth trying.
And I also want to add.
You got me so for the head of life.
You know,
well, and I still recommend it, and I no longer sell, so I still recommend
right.
it.
Right. Well, you know, and I tell people, you can start a corporation in 15 minutes. You can get business cards. You know, you can be in business in half a day. You know, the thing is, you have to know where to go, you have to know what to do, and you have to know how to do it. You know, a lot of people are innovators, but they're not businessmen. A lot of guys. Why do you hear all the time athletes, entertainers go broke? Well, they're not accountants. You know, they're not accountants. They're not. You know, I saw just the other day Warren Sapp, multi-millionaire, playing football, but child support and all the other things that come in. You know, life caught up with him. But the thing is, we have to remember, even like MC Hammer. Oh, how could he blow all that money? Mike Tyson, how could he blow all that money? Well, he wasn't. You know, he was a boxer. He wasn't an accountant. You know, he mm-hmm. was a financial planner. So I tell people this all the time. If you're an innovator, innovate. If you're a technical person, stay in technology. Now, we don't, you know, we'll recommend you to someone, but we really don't, you know, we really don't want to get into you know, that point of it, that side of it. But the one thing that I can say is this: once you're ready and ready to go, then the job is ours. And we're building a reputation and an arsenal of investors that will, you know, they come and, you know, check philanthropists, you name it. You know, they check the projects. They look at the projects. They want to fund the projects. And we're just trying to build right now a arsenal so that when they go in, you know, it's not an empty book. That's why we haven't posted a lot of projects yet, because we started to, and then we said, well, you know, we'll do a couple tests. But we're going to unleash, and I tell people right now, you join and put a project up now while there's no fees in there. Because pretty soon, like anything else, you know, it's a cost to be the boss. Right now, we're not charging you anything to join this thing, except on the back end. That's 7 to 10%. It's really 7%. 10% only if we had to do a lot of, you know, graphics and things like that for you. But the average person comes with their own, you know, with their graphics and everything done, you know, with the administrative side done. You know, we don't want to get into babysitting projects for people.
I hear you. Everything has a business. It's called a networking. If somebody's providing a service, which you guys are, then, you know, you're entitled to have something to compensate for your work. And I don't have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't at all. 7% of a big funding source, I don't think that's bad at all. You know, they're taking 10% in sales tax in some states. You know, so,
well, let me ask you this question. If I brought you $100,000 right now, and I told you, you have to give me $7,000 of that, could you live with $93,000 of that?
If you're believing what you can do, hey, I'm a mother of 10 raising 7. So I could tell you right now, I could stretch a dime, okay? So I'm the wrong person to ask. But I could, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, but my point is 7% is a chip. It's a speck in the bigger scheme of things.
It sure is. It's a speck. I told you. When you go to buy a pair of shoes, it's almost 10% in it's almost 10% just in tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in
sales
tax.
Well, if you go buy a house, they charge you 7 to 10% in commission.
It's 7.25% back in 93 when I did have a house. So yeah, I could tell you that, you know, 7% is minimal, especially since what you're doing is going to worldwide people. You got to keep up with the status of the person's project. If funding came in, there's a lot more than you just saying, I'll take your project. I could see that. You know, everybody just sees the front page news. They forget that it takes a person to run the assembly line, the printing, the, you know. So it's not just what you see. It took a lot of little people to get there.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, we have a staff that works tirelessly. And I have to tell you, it is a very, very, it's very humbling to see people wanting to promote other people. You know, that is the gratification of this. You know, the bigger we make you, the bigger we are. The bigger we make you, the bigger we make you. You know, we're FUBU of this century. You know, we're for us, by us, for people of color. You know, we are the FUBU of now. I mean, think about it. Back when they were selling clothes out of, you know, out of trunks and things of that nature, or guys selling records out of trunks, you don't have to sell them out of trunks now. We're giving you a platform to sell them on. And we're not charging you except for what you fund for. I mean, it's a no-brainer. If a guy's sitting there with no cash right now, it's his fault.
You know, there was our show's consultant. He's a radio DJ, and he has every day a thought of the day. He posts a thought of the day to motivate people. And I'm trying to find it now. Whereas one, he said, if you put your heart and soul into your project and you keep your eye on the success of the project, the money will come later. And one of the things that I get from that is if you're motivated by money for your project, that is not going to be a long-term project. If you're motivated by the passion for what it stands for, you're going to constantly want to recreate perfection in it yourself. No investors are going to be able to say, you know, this it doesn't have what you need. It doesn't have. You should have everything that it takes in it already because it's your baby. Like you said earlier, Sharon, you did say that nobody's going to be your best marketer but you. Nobody's going to promote it because nobody's as excited about it as you are. And that's absolutely true. No one is. The thing is that if you brought it to a person and there was some pizzazz missing, even if you did get that critique back, find out what that is and take it as a learning step to make it better because only you can. Only you can.
Well,
and
you know what? You are so, you know, you can hear the passion in your voice about it. And you can hear the emotion of excitement in your voice. And see, the thing is, and I'll tell you something. I had a very teachable moment yesterday. I was at a ball game with my son, and with both my sons. And the coach asked my son in front of the school, because he's on the football squad, he asked him to sweep the floor. And he asked him to sweep the floor with a mop, with the big broom. And my son, you can see him visibly embarrassed about it. But as he looked back at me, I gave him that nod, do your best. I don't care how it looks. You have to have humility in order to become great.
Indeed.
And as he finished that floor, he started watching me, and as he finished, I was there, and I said to him, I said, great job. He was embarrassed about it because his buddies, you know, they were kind of giving him a hard time, but I said to him, I said, you did an excellent job because you showed humility. And the thing is, in business, you have to have, you can't be too proud to beg. If you're too proud to beg, you don't need money. You've already made it. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, so in learning from a 13-year-old yesterday, it really made me realize that when people don't bring their projects, they don't believe in their own project. They don't believe in their own selves. If they can't be humble to ask for help, you know, we as African Americans. And I only speak at, you know, one race of this because I am an African American. We are prideful people, but our brothers and sisters that are of color, they have no problem with asking for help. That's why we don't own anything. That's why we don't, you know, again, we're like crabs in a barrel. We have to stop that on the economical side as well as any other side of asking and doing business. We have to.
Yes, indeed. Let me just take one moment here. Callers, if you're on the line and you actually want to say something or ask a question of our guest speaker tonight, you must hit one so that the moderators can push you up on the calling list, okay? If you just want to listen, don't do anything. You just stay there. But if you want to be a part of the panel or you want to ask a question, you have to press one, okay? Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. What you said about your son, the example with your son, was absolutely, you know, it touches me. Because you do have to start small. You know, even in a business, before you can become a CEO or a president, a vice president, nobody can lead better than a person who once had to follow.
Absolutely. That is so, listen, that is the key, because as I saw him sweeping that floor, I saw him owning that gym. I didn't see him sweeping the floor. I saw him owning a janitorial service that, you know, took care of every school in the district. Or, you know, I tried to give him that vision. See, we have to, not just African Americans, Hispanic, Indian, Asian, you know, a Chaldean. I'll give you an example of Chaldean descent. They'll go, you'll go in a store, and their son is working right there with them. He's working right there, or their daughter. Next thing you know, they're saying, hey, may I help you? Well, we have to do that and empower our children to in the right businesses. We have to. That is a must. We must, and we have to give them empowerment. I mean, as I told my son, never be ashamed of bettering yourself, because the very one that's laughing at you will be the very one working for you.
Indeed. Oh, God, indeed, yes. I worked Wendy's as a crew member, and I had the what they call the dining room, right? When they list the categories of each position, and they call dining room, you know, the hostess. Now, it sounds glamorous to begin with, and yes, it is, but you clean the dining room, you pick up after the customers, you have to do the bathroom. All right, and especially where we were, where it was more in the working district area, where people came in and they were drinking and, you know, they needed to go urinate because they had too many beers and they didn't always, you know, hit the right target, if you know what I mean. So it was like, oh, I don't want to do dining room. Listen, I did the dining room. I sparkled up everything. None of that bothered me. But I will tell you this. By the time my customers finished dealing with me, they used to run outside to look up at the Wendy's sign to see if it was really a Wendy's they were at or at a 5-star restaurant. I wind up making manager in a year, eventually went to another place and was manager there. You know, it's just I had a passion for if I'm going to be doing it, it has to be done at my best. So, you know, as much as it wasn't the greatest of jobs at times, interacting with people, seeing people say certain things, that sort of made me feel like I was doing my best. And you're absolutely right, because you know what? One of the things that kept going through my head was one of these days I'm going to own it, because I don't like the way this is, and if I ever owned a business, this would never look like that for a customer. So, yes, everything has a learning cycle in it if you have that spirit in you.
And you have to. You know, we all go through rough patches. I've been on rough journeys. You've been on rough journeys. But the one thing I tell kids all the time, I would rather see you do 2 good push-ups than 10 bad push-ups.
Oh,
I would rather see you do it proper than wrong, because you develop bad habits. Now listen, everyone makes mistakes. You, me, everyone makes mistakes. But what did you learn from those mistakes? It's okay to screw up. It is. That comes with life. Everybody that has made it have done that. But it's what we've learned from that.
Indeed. Let me ask you, Elaine, do you have any questions of Sherrod Piggy today?
Well, no, I don't have any questions. I'm just throwing it out there that, he is right that nobody knows how to ask for help. Nobody of color, I'm from a Hispanic culture, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, you know. We do have businesses out there, but then there's people out there that still don't know how to push forward and, you know, start it off, you know. And most of the people, they just don't know how to plan things out at all. They just think, okay, I'm going to get this much money and I'm going to open up a store. No, it doesn't work that way, you know. You have to have at least some type of idea of how to, you know, start the business and run with it. It's like McKay's idea. When we started the radio show, our focus is to get through to our community and through to all the people that's around us and hear what we had to say. We had also had to hear what they had to say and feel about certain things that's going on, in, not only in our community, but within the United States as well. If these people do not make a business plan for themselves of, like, a friend of mine, he's doing photography, you know, and it was meant to get further. He had to build a business plan. He had to understand, you know, he had to, you know, put down, okay, I'm going to be spending this much on digital. I'm going to spend this much on whatever. At least have, like, some type of idea of what he's going to go forward for. And most of the time when people do make a business plan, they fall back and say, oh, you know what, I can't do this. And they don't look for people like yourself to actually say, okay, I need help to start my business up. What can I do? You know, myself, I'm not ready to do no business yet. You know, I would love to start my business, but I'm not ready for that yet. At least I admit that. But I know once I want to put my, you know, push forward, and I start putting out there, and start putting pictures out there of the cakes and the cupcakes that I made, yeah, I'm going to be as skeptical as Katie was, like, who is this person that's hitting me up and not even reach out to me? We all know how many con artists and how many scams are out there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And for someone like yourself to hit Katie up, and that's like she said, it's a godsend, you know? It's a real godsend. And
well, and we are flattered. We thank you for that compliment. We do.
Yeah, nobody knows about it. That's the thing. Nobody knows about it. They feel that, okay, this is person hitting me up. Is this person as legit as what I want my business to be? And if they don't see it that way, it's going to be hard for them to push even further to what they want to get to. And like we said, you know, goals are like very hard to get to if you don't ask for help and if you don't do the proper research on what you want to do. And if you don't do the right research and actually look back on it and say, okay, I'm going to check out this entrepreneur, this, you know, this agency and see if they can help me go further, then they won't be going anywhere.
That's
yes,
true.
Yes.
And
no, you know, if you plan, I forgot how the saying goes, but if you don't plan, how can you expect anything but failure? You know, you know, sometimes you get in situations, yeah, you're playing a chess game. We get that. But you have to start basic. You can go to, you know, LegalZoom.com, set your company up, set your things up. You know, and the thing is, it's so simple to become a corporation because a lot of people don't even understand the difference between a DBA and a corporation. A DBA does nothing, but it does no protection. A corporation gives you some protection, but
yeah.
A lot of people don't protect themselves. If I right now fell asleep and came through your living room and hurt someone, God forbid, in a corporate vehicle, well, I have somewhat protection for my personal asset. But if I come through your window with a DBA, that's just doing business as. I am myself doing business as. You know, whatever the company is. So, you know, people have to be educated, you know, as far as you'd be surprised how many companies, as a matter of fact, this hurricane that just went through out near you guys, correct?
It was through with us, yes. We went through.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many businesses didn't even have insurance to cover that.
Oh, I
know. We know. We know.
But frankly, you follow what I'm saying?
I don't think that was ready for it.
Nobody's ready for it because nobody thinks it'll ever happen to them.
Nope.
You know, I'll always have this customer. I'll always have this customer. Well, that customer dies. Or this customer, this business will always go because of. There's always the inevitable that will happen. It always is. You always have to. A guy always told me, you have to plan for the exit the day you start. You have to. You have to have a succession plan the day you start.
Yes. And you know something? The day that it becomes an idea in your head, you need to be ready. Like, you just do. Elaine, you just said you're not ready to start your business. But as long as I've known you, this has been your path. Now it's time for you to start scratching those things in a doodle pad and making it a business because it's something that you do from your heart and you're very good at it. You're very good at it.
Elaine, what type of phone do you have?
Sprint.
I mean, is it like a smartphone?
I have a
Kyocera.
Let's make one. No one has a phone. Isn't it a smartphone? Should I call it a smartphone or a dumb phone?
I know, right? What is a smartphone? You know, it types words you don't pick. It sends messages you're not writing. It calls for you when you're sitting down. So how smart can it be?
No. I mean, you have one where you can pull apps up, correct?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All you need is I do it all the time. You go to a notepad, you download the free notepad, and you dictate or write into it, and each day write down 10 things. Write down 10 things that you must accomplish. I don't care if it's going to the dry cleaners. There's a study that said, it was a Harvard study, that 65% of the people that wrote down everything they did daily were successful in whatever they did because they put themselves on a plan. If you practice something for 3 years, you're in a sense a professional after a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So don't no dream is too small, and never say the words "I can't," "I'm not ready." When will you ever be ready? Were you ever ready to be a mother? Were you ever ready to be this age? No, it's all trial and error.
You know, a very wise older woman once told me that. Especially for a, well, she said for a black woman, because we were in that field at the time. She says, if you wait for the perfect time, you'll never get there. And I never understood it until one day I was trying to buy a dress, and I kept saying, that's a really nice dress, but I have to pay, you know, I got to buy the kids' milk first, or I've got to do this, or one day when I get the money, I'll do it. She says, if you wait for the day that you get that you the perfect time, it'll never be a time. So I started trying to figure out how can I work it around my situation. As long as my babies were fed and the bills were paid, I could put aside whatever else was there and get something for me every so often. So that's what she was trying to explain. And it's true, it's never a perfect time. Because the biggest successes have happened by accident.
Right.
Awesome. 90% of them. You know, ask yourselves this question. What is the difference between you and Angie Martinez or a Wendy Williams? Just DNA. That's it. You have to get, you'll get to that point if you keep pushing.
You know, like, you will. You know, with me, I have, like myself, I already have, like, a set of goals that I've, you know, that I've already set myself up for. I remember at the beginning of this year, I'm with Katie at her home. I'm like, you know, I'm going to start working real soon. And that was, like, my motivation. I'm going to start working real soon. I don't know if Katie remembers that. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm going to start working. And soon enough, yes, I started working. Then right after that, my daughter got sent to a school that was more affordable for me than the school that she was in before. And I'm like, okay, now my next one is, what is it, Katie? Do you remember?
Well, I'm sorry, honey. Repeat, because to me you sound a little bit muffled.
All right, the first option was for me to get a job, which I got. The next one was for my daughter to get accepted to a more affordable school, which she got. The next one was to replace my laptop, which I got. The next one is what? An apartment.
Yes, and then to get your business up.
Yep, that's what order I'm doing.
But you're in the business world because you're here with me, so we're going to be doing this. That's
yeah.
You even know. Sometimes your best laid plans is not always the best plans.
Oh, of course.
You know, we can get that. But I will say this. More opportunities have opened up since we have had this motivation to take the show to where we want to. You know why? Because all of the co-hosts on the show have personal tragedy motivations that made us want to make something different. We got sick and tired of seeing big wigs purposely turn their heads when they knew the problem was right there and could have done something and did it. We got tired of seeing people have to struggle when the opportunity was right there simply because everybody knew it, didn't want to tell them. We got tired of that. We got tired of people grumbling in the corner and no one saying anything. Meanwhile, things are happening. And now we found this out. We kept digging and look, we found you. And you found it.
Well, and I want you to remember something. Never forget this if we never speak again. You guys right now on this phone, you guys are a network. You guys are the only difference between you and NBC or ABC is they have more experience and more employees. As long as you model and build this on a proper foundation, it will always stand. It will always stand. You guys right now are a network. You guys have TV, radio. You can do with the internet and social media, you can do anything. You guys have the following. You have all the tools you need. You have all the tools you need right now. to, if you multiply your numbers every single month, do your math after 2 years, and you tell me how much you can charge advertising dollars. Now, it goes back to, and I must plug Hugh Funding, it goes back to you raise the capital to get you to that next level. Once you do that, then that's when you go and you continuously grow. Remember, ownership means everything. But at some point, no matter how big you get, you're going to have to relinquish some ownership in some way, whether it's in distribution, whatever. But as long as you're structured right, who cares? I mean, a lot of people didn't realize that Bob Johnson was really owned by Ted Turner.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that he loaned him that money. And I'll give you a quick tidbit. Do you know right now, do you realize who owns BET, VH1, and all the video channels? Sumner Redstone, the gentleman who owned Viacom, who then owned, he owned all the Blockbusters. But you have one man controlling what all our children watch from, 106 in Park to, the Kardashians, all of that.
Wow.
It's the truth.
The one thing I can say that we are grateful for is, Elaine, do you remember what our very first listener count was when we had the pilot show?
I'm sorry?
Do you remember when we ran our pilot show, the one before our first official broadcast week? Do you remember what our listener count was, and we were shocked with even that number?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the exact number, but yeah, I was shocked myself for the amount.
We had 138 listeners on May 20th of 2013. I'll never forget.
That was just like out the back of the bird that we
told it. Yeah, I remember that. I thought then, oh, my God, where did 138 people come from? And that was when we had the real bad mics and the crackling and people were coming back even the next day to listen to it. And then the day after that, we had 250 people, and then 2 days later, we were at 1,000 people, and then our May reports came in. Now, mind you, everybody's thinking 30 days. For us, our May reports was only 5 days because we started on May 27th, and in May, we had 1,608 listeners.
For fun.
1,600. And now today, we're not even 5 months old, we have 12,060 listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, follow this. Now, take my analogy and look 1 year from now where you'll be.
Oh, we'll be way above where we're at.
Exactly. Well, if you're that, if you're just taking a 5 month period, in 10 months you'll be double.
Yep.
So my point is this: you guys, as long as you guys stay committed and remain very humble and raise the proper capital when needed and network. Listen, there's no reason that you guys can't go into TV, broadcasting. There's just, you guys have endless possibilities because of your talent. You guys have a talent. You know, everybody wanted to be Martha Stewart after Martha Stewart wanted to be Martha Stewart. But she started out working on a couple things, baking on a couple things, fixing a couple curtains here or there, or, no different than anyone else, doing the hobby crafts at home. No different. But they had a plan of action. They had a call of action. And that's what you guys are doing. You guys are motivated enough. Look, 1,000 people can talk about it, but only one, it makes a difference when only one does something about it.
Joe.
You guys are doing that. I don't care who turns you down. Remember, Walt Disney was denied. by 178 banks before he finally got his first partial okay to build Disney in Florida. Now,
wow,
you do the math. Yes, 178 banks.
Wow.
Yes. So don't feel bad if you go into a bank and say, hey, I need $5,000. Well, guess what? I don't have to go into you, Mr. Banker. I can go to I have an alternative lending source now. Now, people are going to call and say, oh, this can't be true. It's too good to be true. Well, I guess Kickstarter is too good to be true. Indiegogo is too good to be true. I guess all these others are just too good to be true. It's not. Knowledge is power. And if you know something and you can absorb it and visualize it, it's yours.
Wow. 178 people, huh?
178 banks said, "Nope, crazy idea. You're gonna build Disney on swamp land. Yep, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna overhaul this. I'm gonna do this. Nope. You're crazy. Nope. Well, 40 years later, or how many ever years later, the Disney Channel, ABC, or no, NBC, all this, they own so much stuff. But it took a man with a vision who they thought was crazy."
Well,
this will never work. That'll never work.
Let me just say that because Wendy's got started because a really heavy eating guy hated that McDonald's burgers were too small for him.
Absolutely. Dave Thomas talked
about it all the time. He said, nope, it's not thick enough for me. So he went out there and made, you know, Wendy's. And he said that in his earlier commercials. He talked about it. That was one of his pitches before he passed away. And he talked about it. Mark Hughes, you know, rest his soul, he started Herbalife because his mother was going on the up and down yo-yo diets and died from a drug overdose because half of the diets had amphetamines. The others had, you know, energy uppers and some had downers. It wound up being too much for her body. So after he grieved, he took a bunch of herbalists and doctors, brought them together and made natural herbal alternatives to these things, sold it out of a baggie, the one with the twist ties too. They didn't even have the Ziplocs at the time, from his trunk of his car. Someone took it to a lab, and here we are today. He's a billionaire, or was a billionaire.
Hmm.
Ironically, he died of a heart attack.
But see, what is the key? What is the nucleus here? Motivation. If you listen. If you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Indeed.
You'll never work a day in your life. You know, I tell people all the time, marketing is nothing more than telling a story, painting a picture. If I'm going to paint a picture to you about something and can back it with fact, no one can call and refute it. No one can refute it. If no one can refute something, they can't talk bad about it. They can say, as you said, you know, it's a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not get-rich-quick for anybody. You're not getting any cash until this thing funds 100% or the investors agree to it.
Indeed.
So everybody, the investor is protected, you're protected. Nobody's trying to steal your project. It's there for the world to see. You know, what is the difference in writing a song, the most beautiful love song known to man, but never gets released?
True.
You're just another guy with a melody in a garage.
And the great thing about being a person that has a dream, it's your dream, it's your personal protocol. No matter how many people can try to copy it, you know, mimic it, duplicate it, no matter what happens, you always have your own prototype. You take it with you. No matter what somebody took out of a business proposal or whatever, so your motivation behind it will always be with you. They can't take that from you. So you'll always be able to make it better. Even if somebody did a prototype like it, you'll always be the person that'll walk out with it with your own blueprint in your own head. So it's one of those things. And just like I said, this man is sitting here, listeners, with a live, viable option. Is it a guarantee? What in this world really is? But it's everything in here has to be something that you try. Take a bite out of an apple. You know, it's like trying new food. It looks good. You might be a little skeptical about it. It might look really weird, but it might be the best tasting thing you've ever had if you try it. You know, the most you could do is get a yes or a no out of this.
And I do want to add one thing to that.
Sure.
And you made me just reflect on something. When I was in high school, a young lady, I can't say her name, but she had two combs that she used to stick in her beautiful black hair. Mm. And she would stick these combs in her hair, and her brother and the family was in construction. And her brother says, let me put a little mechanism on it. She ended up selling her idea to, I want to say it was KTEL, or I can't think of the name of it offhand, but that is what you ladies now call the banana comb.
Wow. Mm.
Now, she had money. She came from money. How many more banana combs are out there in this world right now? When I say banana combs, I mean the ideas that are in your head, simple, stupid concoctions or thoughts that, hey, if they can take the pet rock, and some guy's laying on a beach right now, still his grandkids are living off that money. If he's able to do that, and she's able to create a banana comb, now she probably got $10 or $20 million in the 80s. Imagine what that money's worth now.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, she didn't have crowdfunding. She had wealthy parents. Well, you don't have wealthy parents. I don't have wealthy parents. You don't have wealthy parents. The point is, she did something about it. And in doing something about it, her idea didn't cost virtually anything. Now, bringing it at that time to fruition, yes, it costs money. They did have the money, yes. But now you have a platform that is almost even keel because other investors are looking at your product. They're looking at your passion. They're looking at your concept. They're looking at your innovation. Now it's
Indeed.
Time to act.
It's time to act. It's time to stop grumbling. It's time to stop worrying about whether or not it'll happen. It's time for you to take the first step and just do it. Just do it. Do it carefully, of course, meaning that you don't just throw anything out there and expect people to look at it. It's like an English teacher telling you to give you a report, and you give her the loose leaf paper you ripped off at the last minute and it's smudged up, and you expect her to read it and give you a good grade. You know, put your best foot forward and give it your best shot, but whatever you do, take the step. Now, I do want to say thank you very much to you, Mr. Piggy, because this was something that I felt was definitely a difference from we're constantly talking about topics in the community, but this was something that is important as the news. And we are down to our last 5 minutes in the broadcast, and I just wanted to say that it has been one intriguing discussion today. And I love what I read. I love what I'm hearing from you. I'm excited now that there's an actual real first step possibility for this show, because we have been looking, and as a matter of fact, I was hoping, well, we could talk and see what happens with regards to maybe Hugh Funder being one of our sponsors. So it was one of the things that we were talking about and we were looking for, and it's been a few weeks, and, you know, it's been back and forth, and now this is starting to look like the first solid viable option for us. Whether it goes whichever way it goes, at least we now got our foot in the door and taking first steps. So that is, to me, as precious as actually, you know, sitting there and being rich at this moment. That's just the way I feel. Elaine, any final thoughts for our guests?
Well, my final thought is no matter what dream you have, follow it through. Follow through with all your heart. Even if you're not ready for it, if you just want to perfect certain things, then do it. And until you're ready to push through, then, you know, then go for head first.
Thank you very much. And I would like to personally say thank you to you, Sharad, and you can pass this on to your team when you get there. That I want to say thank you for establishing something like this, because it is a nice little you know, light shining bright at the end of the dark tunnel in the minority struggle. So I do want to say thank you for that. And let them all know out there that I am personally saying thank you, because I'm going to be one of the first people walking down this door to go try it out, as soon as I speak with my team, of course. And at the end of the show, kindly do me a favor and give me a call, because I'm going to ask some additional questions and possibly do a follow-up segment to this for anyone who missed tonight's broadcast.
Not a problem. And all we say is this. If you have an idea, go to Hugh Funder, H-U-E Funder, all one word, .com, .net, .whatever. And all we ask you to do is this. If you have an idea and it's put together and packaged, let us be the vessel that takes it to the masses. I don't care what anybody says about any crowdfunding source, our source, or any source. Just ask them one question. Are they giving you any money? Are they donating you any money? Are they funding any project for you? And when they tell you no, click start, because we're here to help you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really, I mean, listen, I didn't even get to go through the entire list of links, but just the part that I felt applied to us at the time was already fully informative, and it was hopeful. I mean, it was looking like, it sort of made me feel like, you know, like Herbalife did for me when I had the little bit of weight gain that I wanted to get rid of, and no matter what I did, there was a certain part of my body that I couldn't get down, and this product actually touched that particular area and made me feel like, whoa, like there's hope. You know, that's how this company made me feel. I have looked at all of the website offers, okay, that says, you know, we give business startup money for anyone starting a business, women-only grants, things to that effect. It's nothing like Hugh Funder was when I looked up there. So I want to thank you for that, and I'm sorry, but we are kind of running out of time right now. So I want to thank you.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
I want to help you. We want to help you guys take yourselves to the next level as well.
Thank you so very much. As I always say on our sign-off, listeners, be blessed. Be a blessing, make a difference. You now have a viable option. Take that first step, click on HughFunder.com, and read it up and see what applies to you. So until, actually, we'll be back Thursday. Tomorrow there'll be a replay of Dear Parents, Your Teen Is Not Your Business, Sign Your Government. Okay? Till tomorrow night, everyone, and Thursday live, I'll see you. God bless you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, you guys.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.